welcome to an Aggro Review. This one's for the video game Deus Ex Human Revolution from Square Enix and Eidos Montreal. We're doing a co-review here. Me and myself, Hades, and Corey, or Mythic Griffin.
What's happening?
Do you want to take us in on a little bit of the history of the game?
Sure, absolutely. So Deus Ex, which most people remember, is from back in 2000. There was the original game that was released on Macintosh, PC, and PS2. And basically it was acclaimed reviews. It was a very stealthy style game, very, you know, involved. It changed the game by adding elements of a first-person shooter, a little bit of an RPG, as well as an adventure game, all creating this amazing, you know, first-person experience. And it gave you gameplay choices and consequences that when you decided to do something, it would affect the game longer down the road. Tons of companies and websites like PC Gamer said that it was the best PC game of all time at the time in the year 2000. Then it came out with, in 2003, I believe, Deus Ex Invisible War was released for PC and Xbox. And that came out to quite a bit of a controversy. It didn't do nearly as well as the original did. Deus Ex Invisible War was well-received, but it was more based off of... It still had the stealth and the role-playing elements, but it had more of an FPS feel to it. And it was great. It was a really good game. It sold well. But it came under a lot of scrutiny because of how well the first one was. So that leads us up to Deus Ex Human Revolution, which was released on the 26th of August. I believe that's right, David? Can you confirm that?
That is correct.
All right, so the 26th of August. Now, Human Revolution is actually a prequel to Deus Ex, which came out in 2000. This actually takes
place... Actually, hold on, it was the 23rd.
Sorry. 23rd, I take that back. So 23rd. And this actually takes place in 2027... In the year 2027, whereas Deus Ex took place in 2052. So this is actually a prequel, and you play Adam Jensen, who is basically your all-around badass cop, who ends up getting into an accident that we will go into in a little bit later, and then he becomes what they say is augmented. And so you have this world that's very Blade Runner-ish, in this very black and gold style setting of, you know, cyberpunk, I think they call it cyber renaissance in this style of game, and you basically play Adam Jensen trying to uncover this gigantic mystery, and you have all the great elements of stealth, RPG, and first-person shooter, along with very consequence-oriented gameplay, similar to what we see with, like, Mass Effect and a lot of the other games out there that require you to actually interact with your surroundings and other players or NPCs in the game. That's pretty much about it for the time being, but that's the rough edge of Deus Ex's history. You can actually look up more about Deus Ex online. I think you can still buy it on some places for PC. I'm not sure if you can get it still on PS2. Deus Ex Invisible War is okay, but I recommend playing the original one as well. If you pick this one up, you're definitely going to want to pick up the original. So... Well, David, what did you think about the game?
Well, so far, I've actually really, really enjoyed it. It reminds me a lot of Metal Gear Solid type aspects in some cases, because I know it's not an espionage shooter, as Metal Gear Solid has been, you know, coined as. But I guess it's just the play style I'm going through, because I'm trying to sneak through and, you know, stun and knock out everybody and not, you know, just go in guns blazing, shooting everything and crushing everybody with my robotic limbs. So, and it's that kind of, I guess, that's the one thing I really like about it is it kind of lets you tailor the game to how you want it, which a lot of games really don't do. It's, you know, this is the type of game you have, go with it. Like you could like you were saying, you could go through playing a first-person shooter, which not one of my favorite things. Favorite genres, but an espionage, you know, shooter type thing. I actually really, really enjoy that. So,
fair enough.
And what about yourself?
I enjoyed this game. I really do. I'm always for anything with an RPG style gameplay, and especially being first person. This is a very immersive world. It's a very large world. It feels very Oblivion-esque. you know, very Elder Scrolls, that you have this world that you're not tied down to a specific storyline. Like, you can do the main story, you can do side quests, but you're free to roam around, interact with other things, interact with other people. And I think that the consequence system is ideal. Basically, things that you see that you're doing in the first part of the game can come around full circle before the end of the game and affect your gameplay. There are multiple endings, so depending on the choices you make throughout the gameplay, it's fantastic. There are a couple gripes that I have about the whole thing, but in regards to the actual game overall, I think this is as great of a game as you can get. This is probably one of my all top 10 favorite games ever out right now, easily.
Well, while you're saying that, do you want to actually, let's talk about what you hated. I like to go through what I hated, then what I liked. So,
okay.
What did you
The FPS aspect. I think that the controls are very clunky. I think that the way that you aim, the way that you fire, the way that you target, it feels like I'm being forced to play a stealth game. Like I need to hide and I need to break this guy's neck and I need to knock this guy out and I need to take care of all my my spy espionage style tactics and strategy before I get to go in there guns a-blazing. Like there's never been a scenario, except for boss fights, as you know, David. Except for boss fights, there's really no scenario that I get to kick a door down and be like, you know what, assholes, it's game on, and just start shooting people in the face. Every time I tried that, I ran into a scenario, and 3-4 hits, bam, down. I'm done, I gotta start over, I gotta look for alternate routes, I gotta look for alternate strategies. It requires a lot of thinking, but because I get caught up in the action, I just want to go in there and just be like, you know what, I'm awesome, I have all these augmentations, I'm half robot practically, I should be able to walk in there and just start blowing people's faces off. So that was kind of a gripe of mine. And really, it's not game-breaking, because it is a stealth slash RPG slash espionage style game,
but it's
frustrating.
Well, the one thing you about that though is it's the RPG element of it, because at a certain point you can actually boost your armor up to a point where you can kick in a door and take quite a bit of damage before you actually get knocked down.
Right, but so then you're talking about there's what they have, what's called the augmentation system and the praxis point system, and basically this is where the RPG element comes in, is that you can, you know, make modifications to your augmentations by assigning what's called praxis points to specific sets like your head, your torso, your arms, so forth and so on, and you can up specific skills in your augmentations. The problem with that is that it's all tactical, it's all strategy. There's really no awesome, like, damage output or damage boost. Like, there's no augmentation that affects that. I think the only
one
is it. No, because you really...
The strength?
Dude, the problem with the strength one is that you can move bigger objects. You can throw bigger objects.
Or you can punch through walls and kill people through a wall.
Yeah, but I want to be able to walk in there and be like, you know what? Or you get solid firing, I forget what it's called, but you can augment it so that you have precise aim.
You have
no
recoil.
So when you walk into a room, you have no recoil, so you're basically shooting dead on at what you point at, no problem. But there's no damage output. I want to be able to get stronger ammo. I want to be able to get stronger, you know, guns that are going to actually make a difference. No matter what, it's still going to take the same amount of hits. It's still going to take the same amount of shots. That was kind of a frustration with me, is that I wanted to walk in there and be like, you know what, let's become stronger. Let's become better. You can do and have more abilities, but you don't actually become stronger as a physical being. You just get more strategy output is the best way to put that. You know, you can do cooler things, but they don't actually affect the way that you're going to pound this guy's face in. You just get a different animation on how you do it.
Okay. Anything else you hated about the game besides the combat?
Well, I'm sure you're probably going to discuss the same thing that I'll briefly talk about, is I feel there was a lot of... The voice acting is not the most ideal here. There's a lot of scenarios where I feel it was very stereotypical. There's a couple scenarios where either the person is of Oriental descent or African American descent, and they're really put into like a voice acting that you would go, wow, that's really, what is it? I think
at some point it's actually very racist.
There are some points that you're like, like, that's a little bit much, and you're really taking this to that level. Nothing that made me feel uncomfortable, but it was on a very fine line. It walked a very fine line, and that's give or take, and it really matters how you take it personally. So don't let that deter you. But when you hear, you know, an Asian man speaking with that tone that everybody sees in like comedies, or an African American drug addict that sounds like Dave Chappelle from the Chappelle Show, you start to go, really? It's not as much tongue-in-cheek as it starts to become a little bit offensive. But that was really, those are my two big gripes about the whole game.
Yeah, see, I completely agree with the voice acting. I mean, it's not like you have horrible script. I mean, some of it's kind of repetitive and some of it's kind of blah. But there was some points where, like, I think one of the first main characters you have a run-in with, he's supposed to be this Spanish human rights guy, or Mexican-Spanish rights guy. And even my girlfriend was sitting there going, that's, like, way over stereotypical for, like, a cholo.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was sitting there like, yeah, that's kind of pushing the boundaries of, you know, stereotype and realism.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing when you end up going over to China at one point. All of it, like, they emphasize the, you know, mispronunciation of, like, the R's and the L's and all of the ones that are the stereotypes.
It's like they're going out of their way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one thing, I guess, one of the things I would say wouldn't bother me as bad, except for at the one point when you go to Montreal in the game.
Right.
You don't hear a single A or a boot.
Right. It's not oversaturated when you go to Canada.
Yeah, so. And you would think from, you know, somebody from a company that's designing this game out of Montreal, when you go to Montreal, you would hear, you know, some of the Canadian flavor. I mean, it's only supposed to be not even like 15 years from now. And then again, it's all a fantasy world, because I mean, you start out in Detroit, which is this huge, mega, amazing place, which nowhere near, you know, what's going on now.
Right.
But I guess one of my other big gripes about the game is, you know, you were talking about the world and how expansive and how, you know, there's so much going on. I don't think I've run into a single apartment building that's probably about 9 stories tall and a rather large apartment building, and finding 4 or 5 apartments in the building.
Yeah, that was weird. You would go into a large building and you would run up to like the 3rd floor and there would be one door.
Yeah, you'd run up the stairs to the 3rd floor and there's like no doors that would let you off onto another floor. It's like you start running up from the 1st floor and you're like, oh, okay, well, there's the 2nd floor. How do I access the 2nd floor? You get to the 3rd floor, still can't access it. And I understand, you know, they're not going to populate the entire world. But it was like they couldn't even throw a texture over it going, yeah, there's a door there. But you can't go into it because, well, that doesn't progress the story.
Right. I think that's what it was, is they were trying to make sure, because honestly, the game, if you run through it straight through, you're going to look at between 25 and 40 hours of gameplay just playing it one time through. So they probably didn't want to deter you from running around, and they wanted to kind of keep you on a specific path. Yes, you can run into some extra rooms, but if you walked into an apartment building and they're like, hey, you need to go to the 3rd floor and go to this room, and you run upstairs and you're like, hey, look at all these rooms, you're going to spend more time searching than you actually do play the game. And then that could turn some people off. So I think they were just trying to keep you on the straight and narrow while not limiting your expanse of area to explore.
There's a difference, though, between having like a door that's there so I could just run into a random template room and just look around, and having just a door painted on to give the semblance of, you know, there's more than 2 rooms on this entire floor of these cramped apartments. You know, somewhere where on the outside you look and you see, like, windows on the outside of the building showing, like, 40 rooms per floor. But when you actually get in there, into the area,
there's, like, 3 rooms.
There's 3 rooms, and only one of them you can go into. And this is the thing that made me really upset about it all, is they actually randomly painted on, like, one door here and one door there to try to fake it. It was like they were trying to rush through it and not slap just a few extra textures on to go, yeah, there's a door here, but don't worry about it. You don't have to go in there. Just keep going on the story. It's just that extra immersion, I guess. Because when I run down a long hallway of an apartment complex, I expect to see about 10 to 20 doors, not two.
Right. Okay, I'll give you that.
And only one of them I can enter.
Valid. That's valid.
And the other thing I guess I'd have a real gripe on is some of the facial animations kind of, they don't sync up right, or they just don't look right. Or at some points they just look horrendous, which it's never on like the primary characters, but it's some of the secondary NPCs that you actually interact with, not just like the ones you run up to and they say the same two lines over and over, but like the ones who are handing out mission or side missions. You just look at them and it seems like those character models didn't get as much detail as everything else, which understandable, except for it's coming from a publisher and a development team that is known for putting those little extra flavor into all of their characters and animations.
Right. See, and on that aspect, yeah, you know, you see this and you go, well, you almost look human. I thought they were very twitchy. Did you notice that they're very, like, nobody just stood still to have a conversation with you. They always were like, they were hyped up on something. They were like, you know, having, like, even one of the characters was an older person that I had to talk to, and, like, they couldn't just, like, stand and look at me. They kept looking up and looking down and looking around, and it wasn't even a paranoid conversation. It was just a nice, quiet conversation of some information they were giving me, and they were acting like they were all cracked out, and it kind of took a little bit of the realism away.
Yeah, I noticed that quite a bit, and I kind of let that pass off on, you're in a society where everybody could be listening or watching at any time. On top of that, almost everybody who has an augmentation is addicted to some drug or whatever to make sure you're not going to reject the augmentation, kind of like how it is in the real world when you get a artificial organ or anything like that. You still got to take this drug, but in this world, you know, it's an addictive one. So I kind of let it slide just because I can understand that, but on certain people where they don't have, like, you're in a completely secluded area, or they don't have to worry about being listened in on, and they're what they call pure breeds, where they have no augmentations whatsoever. It's just like, why would they be twitchy outside of just kind of pushing through real fast?
Right, right. Like it was rushed. Can you do that?
So, do you have anything else that you absolutely did not like about the game?
No. There was so much good in this game. I mean, besides my minor gripes, really.
What'd you love about the game then?
Oh, dude. Okay, let's start with what I love about the game. Okay, the social atmosphere, the social portion of the game. I mean, literally, I'm a talker. I love to talk. So being able to talk these people down, to be able to have conversations with these enemies, to have that as an option, to walk into a room and be able to talk to everybody and come to a non-violent solution, or there's an augment actually that you can, like, tell what people are feeling, like, perceive what they're saying. There's mm-hmm. ways to get around that, and it's interesting that's an option. Now, like I said, in the boss fights are pretty much, you're going to go in there, you're going to kill this guy, you don't have a choice. But in pretty much the entire game, you can go through this whole game and not kill a single person. You can talk to them, you can, you know, knock them out, you can do something or other, which is cool.
Like the first technical villain you have to come across after you get your augmentations, though.
Right. You get to have a whole... I honestly played that fight. I actually quit and reloaded the fight about four times just to see what each alternate option was by either talking him down or fighting him or using different social context to see what the outcome was. And it changed each time, and it was an in-depth process. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. Another one of the things that they do is hacking. Hacking, I love hacking. This is ridiculous. This is like a mini game for me. Give me this game on my iPhone, and I am good to go. Literally, you walk into these terminals and these computers, and you have a specific type of clearance that you can use. Level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5, blah, 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 blah. And you can update it with your augmentations. But it's neat because it opens up a screen that you go into this little mini mode and you play this little game and you have to beat the computer before it catches you, which is awesome because you're on a timetable, you have to figure it out, you only have so many tries, and you need this information to progress in the game. You don't need it in the game, but it's fun.
Sometimes it makes it way easier if you get the information.
Oh, Exactly. It just makes it easier. And again, one of those things that could affect the outcome of the game or the next or that level. There is one room I walked into that had like 6 computers, and they were all locked, and I had to hack all of them. I probably spent a good hour in that room just hacking every single computer, and it was nothing more than just reading an email or reading a little bit of information, some of it helpful, some of it just spam. Literally, I opened one up as my favorite part. There was an actual piece of spam in somebody's email box that I got to read, and it was so stereotypical, it was just, laugh out loud. But it was so, you know, immersive that I was like, I need to figure out what's on this computer. I want to hack this computer. I want to get on this computer. It was a lot of fun. Stealth, I know stealth is not my forte, but it's fun. It really, like you said, it's Metal Gear Solid style. Like, you're hiding behind corners and flipping around and jumping out when people aren't paying attention. And it's a lot of fun. It's very reminiscent of the original. But it totally, I think it surpasses it. And graphically, visually, this game is stunning. Beautifully done. Graphically, it's a dark world, but it's I don't feel like it's not too dark, if that makes any sense. You're working at nighttime most of the time. You're in these dark areas and you're in these corners. But it's got this gritty, like I said earlier, Blade Runner feel to it, so I feel like I'm in this cyber renaissance world. I feel immersed in it, and I love that about this game. I absolutely do. I think Eidos Montreal did a really good job with that. Let me think, what else was there that I want to cover?
There is a lot, yeah.
There's so much to this game, there really is, and it's just, I mean, we can't even, there's no way that we can even touch or scratch the surface. This is going to just be like an overview. But it's a beautiful rendered game. Like I said, it's in my top 10, and I definitely recommend anybody picking this game up, because it's just, even if you could just sit and watch the game or watch a buddy play it, it's absolutely ideal.
That's a huge list of loves.
You know what? It beats my list of gripes, so in my opinion,
it's
that's
true.
A win.
True, and it actually mirrors a lot of my own likes about the game. Like, I really, really enjoyed the espionage. The tactical espionage and all that stuff in it, jumping around, trying to find that alternate route. Or the other funny thing I like to do is, even if I go in and somehow I set off an alarm and I have to taser or tranquilize everybody, I find myself liking the fact going back and seeing how could I have gone around this, or how, you know, going back and finding that air vent I couldn't find, or finding my way around certain things and going, if I had the lung augmentation, I could walk through this poisonous gas and not get killed. Or, you know, look, there's this pathway that takes me right past everybody. Don't have to fire a single bullet. All I need to do is hack one system. You know, and bam, now I'm done.
Right.
I will say that I do enjoy the hacking. After a while, it does kind of get repetitive, or sometimes you come across one that's like, because it's got a 1 to 5 rating, is sometimes you come across like a 5 rating terminal, and it is the easiest thing to hack through. It takes you like 2 seconds, you're done, never even alerted the computer that you're there. And then you'll come across like a two level rating, and right out the gate the computer's already on you, and you have like 4 seconds to either shut it down or finish the hack.
Oh yeah, and it's so much fun.
Some of that randomness does you know, keep it fresh, but in general it's, you know, it does get repetitive, but it is a fun little, you know, break from the game in general, if you actually want to go down that path as well.
Right.
What else was I like? I'm drawing a blank because I'm trying to figure out something you haven't already said.
Dude, the game is there's just so much. It's one of those games that you have to play through, and you're gonna replay it. Like, are you gonna play it again?
Oh, I'm definitely gonna play it again, because I was gonna say that's one thing. The story path I'm on right now, I'm actually really, really enjoying it. I don't want to talk too much about it for, you know, spoiler reasons, because I definitely went the tactical espionage route, where I'm sneaking through and talking people down and doing all that stuff and trying not to kill as many people. I think as of right now, I've got 2 or 3 confirmed kills, and that's because you have to kill bosses.
Right, right.
Everybody else, it's been, you know, taser, or tranquilizer, or I'm using one of the pulse guns or whatever to, you know, just knock them out and call it a day.
Right. Well, I have a story about that. In the first level, they give you the option that you can choose, you know, do you want to do this non-lethally or lethally? and I, of course, being the badass that I am, was like, man, I'll take everybody out and not kill a single person non-lethally. So, you know, they give you, you know, you get a couple pieces of ammo, you get an option, do you want to do close combat or not close combat, whatever. Mm-hmm. I get this Trank gun, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm about to go tear some shit up, and I roll in this level, and, you know, I start taking a couple guys out here, a couple guys out there. Two guys, before I hit the boss fight, two guys, I run out of Trank ammo. And I'm, like, trying to figure out a way to get around them. I can't come up with an alternate idea. My strategies suck. I'm tired. And I was at that point that I was like, I'm out of ammo. You know what? I don't care about this achievement. I just walked in there, 9mm to the face. Pop, 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 pop. And I was like, I'm done. I was like, you know what? Boss fight. Let's go. I'm good. And they're like, well, you're not going to get the achievement. Well, you know what? That sucks. I just need to move on.
That just means you have to play again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have a similar instance, too, and it's probably the most bizarre thing I found in it, which I don't know if it's a glitch, but it was just hilarious to see. Was there's at one point where you're infiltrating an enemy territory, and I'm sneaking through and all that stuff, and I trank one guy, and I don't move the body in time, so somebody sees, like, his foot hanging out around the corner, and everybody goes berserk. There's, like, 30 guys out of nowhere already trying to gun me down.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a sewer grate next to me, so I just jump down in the sewer and wait for everybody to go, okay, he's gone or whatever, and calm back down.
Right.
And that happens, and instead of, like, taking 2 to 3 minutes like it normally does, it, like, happened, like, almost instantly when I jumped into the sewer. So I, like, climbed back up, popped my head up, and every guy that was out there shooting at me was dead. And I was like, what the hell? And I'm, like, even checking all the bodies, and every one of them was, like, dead. I didn't even find a single shot at any of them, and I got all their loot and all that stuff, which was fun. But yeah, it doesn't go against my no kill streak.
Yeah, exactly. They were blown away by your awesomeness.
Yeah, they were just like, wow, that guy had it planned.
Right.
To die now.
Well,
easy on you.
But I do have to say the game is beautiful. Yeah. Everybody needs to pick it up. I mean, this is a game, especially if you're like a Mass Effect fan or anything like that, you have to get this game.
Definitely a Mass Effect and definitely like a Metal Gear Solid fan. This game is, I would definitely say this game is definitely for you.
Right. And on a side note, because our last AgroCast we discussed this, was the Deus Ex GameStop debacle.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to say that after they were pulling those tickets out of, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to our last podcast. They pulled those tickets out of the boxes. Well, apparently now they're giving people a free $50 credit to any game in the store on top of whatever they bought with Deus Ex. So they're trying to give people the $50 back, but just not giving it to their competitors. So I just want to let everybody know that was like kind of the resolution that came about that.
Well, that's kind of nice.
And yeah, $50, man. I can't argue. And you get an awesome game. So,
yeah.
Okay. go put your down payment down for Gears of War 3. Just saying.
Well, you could probably just pay the whole thing off there.
Pay the whole thing off and be ready to go when that comes out. Or Skyrim, for that matter. But yeah, this game, great game.
Oh, yeah.
Pick it up. It's on Steam. It's on Live. It's on Origin. I think it's on every download game platform or for PC, as well as PS3 and Xbox. So get to getting.
Yes, definitely. Download Deus Ex. It's going to be a game. There's going to be a lot of people who play it, and you'll want to at least give one playthrough so you don't have spoilers.
Yeah,
thrown at you, because that's already going to happen. Like, everybody, I've seen a lot of videos popping up there since day one, where they're like, oh, look at this Easter egg and all that stuff, like all these little hidden references to all these other sci-fi movies and books and everything. They just throw some little thing in there.
And I take it back, it's not on Origin. It's just on Live, Steam. Pick it up on digital download. It's also on PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. Also, there was one last thing I want to put in there for a comment. This does not feel like a Square Enix game.
Yeah, that's. I will agree with that. That is definitely...
Like, there's no... Except for a brief nod that I've noticed in the game,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm through, it's not... There's, like, no remnant of Square Enix. Like, it's not... There's not even a feeling of Final Fantasy, of any of that or style gaming. It's not even the character creation, the character design. nothing even lends. I would have never thought this was a Square game at all.
Yeah, there's no.
It's very, very cool the way that that's done, is that I feel like this is a complete franchise in itself, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, there's no angsty characters anywhere in here that are
right.
Just angsty to be angsty. There's actually a good reason for everything, unlike certain things in the Square Enix games.
Exactly. And I thought that was really neat, and it shows that Square Enix is stepping outside of its box, which is cool, and I hope to see more stuff like that from them, so they can keep teaming up with Eidos and bring it on, dude. Bring on more games.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all I got.
That pretty much wrapped up everything I've had to say, good or bad, about Deus Ex. I mean, I'll be the first to admit I have not played any of the first ones at all, and which I guess kind of works out since this is technically a prequel.
Right, there you go.
And it actually makes me want to go and see, even though I know it's not going to be as good as graphics or gameplay or anything, I'll actually check out the older games to kind of get that full story about everything. Because I guess there's a few conversations you have that if you've played the older games, they make reference to events that have either already happened or are going to happen in those games.
Right.
So that they're, kind of just get that whole world storyline. So
exactly. So go out, pick it up, let us know what you guys like about it in the comments, let us know about what you guys are playing, if you got it on any title, fill us in, let us know what you guys think, what your thoughts are.
Yeah, tell us if anybody's gone run and gun and not gotten blown up in like the first 2 seconds,
and let me know how you did it, and write a little Wikipedia of it and then send it to me.
And do a YouTube video as well.
Yeah,
he's going to need to be able to follow your steps
100%. Screenshots or it didn't happen. Just
yeah. All right, well, I guess that does it for this Aggro review. Pay attention to aggrogamer.com. You can catch everything I do is The Real Hades, both Gamertag, PSN, Twitter, everything. You can catch Corey as Mythic Griffin on pretty much everything as well, correct?
Everything, yep. All gamer tags on all systems, anything downloadable, PC. If it's a video game and you look up Mythic Griffin, it's probably me.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll see you all later.
Bye, guys.